Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Mark my words, here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And sometimes I coach listeners who call in live on the air. So tune in on the first and third Sunday of every month. And tonight is another live coaching hour. The number to call in if you'd like to be coached about something you're challenged by or stuck in your life is 646-716-9397. We already have some callers in the queue, so we're going to jump in and get started with some coaching here on Mark My Words. And so to start with, we have Annette from Newark, New Jersey. Annette, thank you for calling Mark My Words.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit what we're going to be coaching you on this evening, Annette.
So, Mark, I'm so glad you used the word stuck in your intro, because that's exactly how I feel, is stuck. So last year I had a health scare, and it motivated me to really reexamine, you know, my healthy living lifestyle and how I eat, exercise, etc. And I did really good. I started the year off with a bang. I lost 20 pounds, and I was able to maintain that 20-pound weight loss and my new eating habits throughout the year. And then the latter part of last year, just had a series of tragedies, lots of loss within our family circle, and I found myself just really distracted and not focused, and I just have not been able to get back on track. I know what to do. I have a plan that works, so I don't need a plan, because I know exactly what I need and what my body responds to, but I just feel stuck, and I don't feel motivated, and I keep procrastinating. I keep saying, okay, this started back January 1st, February 1st, March 1st, now here we are, July, and I still have not gotten recentered and refocused on my plan.
Gotcha. Okay. So certainly a health scare is something that is quite common to get you motivated into a lifestyle change. I think it, you know, what I'm hearing also is that you were doing well, and then some other things happened in your family that caused some emotional challenges for you, and that's when you kind of fell off the wagon. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, and I feel stuck in that. It's been just a very emotional 6 months, and so I just feel stuck there. And I know logically what to do, but it's just difficult for me to make the shift.
Yeah. Well, and it's very normal too, and very common that when something happens that has high emotional significance like that, that it's going to demotivate you in some other areas of your life. So it makes sense that you're experiencing that. Can I ask a little bit, what happened? What was the health scare that you had? What was the nature of that?
Well, I wound up at the end of 2014, I was in and out of the hospital, actually it was the end of 2013. I was in and out of the hospital and really couldn't figure out what was going on. I had breathing issues. All of my tests came back, normal and negative, which was even more frustrating. And a coworker of mine introduced me to this whole 30 plan, where you eat clean for 30 days, and it helps you to kind of get recentered and cleanse your system. And so I did that, and it was very successful. I lost like 12 pounds. And so I kept up with that eating plan for the rest of that year into 2014. But I kind of plateaued at around 22 pounds. And so I'm kind of stuck in that zone. Right now I'm just struggling to not put those 22 pounds back on. But I really want to finish my goal, which was to lose 40 pounds. So I'm really only halfway there. And I can say that I did learn a better way of eating. So that part I did learn. But I'm still not exercising on a regular basis like I should, which is very important for the weight loss and just your overall health.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the exercising, it sounds like, stopped when the other things began to happen in your family life. Am I correct?
Yeah, I just find myself, I'm just not motivated. You know, I used to enjoy going and walking at the lake. I looked forward to doing it. I was excited about going to the gym. And then I just, one thing happened after another, and I felt like the wind was knocked out of me. I was getting back up, trying to regain my composure, and then something else happened, and the wind was knocked out of me again. And this was like three times within the past 7 months. And I don't want to use that as an excuse, because things happen, you know, and you kind of have to let time play out and regain yourself, regain your composure. But I just feel like I'm really, really struggling.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you sound frustrated, too.
I'm sorry?
You sound frustrated, too.
I'm very frustrated because I know what to do. I know what to do. It's not like I don't know what to do, but my logic is not, it's not clicking in. with the rest of me. So logically, I know exactly what to do. It's not a matter of a lack of education or ignorance at all. But there, I literally feel stuck, like I'm in quicksand, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm struggling and struggling and struggling to keep from going under.
Yeah, no, I get you. And, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, knowing what to do is usually not what makes the difference for us. There's the motivation piece, too, to do what we know we need to do. So,
right.
In fact, that's one of the examples I often use in my seminars when I talk about behavior change. I say, how many of you in this room know how to lose weight if you want to? And, of course, every hand goes up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I always ask, now, keep your hand up only if that information has made the desired difference in your life. And most hands go down. So you're in good company there. You're in very good company there. So can I ask a little bit about what the nature of the incident that happened that demotivated you? What was going on there?
Sure. Well, the first one was a very close friend of my family, actually my daughter's best friend, died unexpectedly at the age of 20. He was a very, very centerpiece of our family. We spent a lot of time together, very loving young person, and he died unexpectedly. And so it was devastating, and it's still kind of unreal. So, you know, we're all trying to rebound from that. But of course, you know, I'm really focused on my daughter's well-being because it was her best friend. And she seems to be doing well. And then there were some relationship issues that I, you know, don't have the liberty to discuss publicly, but I had have some relationship issues. And then there was the loss of my brother-in-law unexpectedly not too long ago. So I just feel like I have just been in this spin cycle of loss and sadness and frustration and, you know, and really just feeling confused. I'm a woman of faith, real strong faith, but things like this happen, and it makes me question God. Like, I just don't understand, you know, how this can happen.
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm sorry to hear about those losses. Those are really tragic losses. And
thank you.
That's certainly. And that's really, you know, honestly enough, that's enough to make anybody lose motivation for anything but, you know, getting by in our own lives. And, you know, I heard you also say that you even focused on your daughter's well-being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that she's doing okay. And it makes sense that while you're reaching out to help your daughter, that you may have taken yourself off your priority list during that time, which, of course, is normal to do as well.
Yeah.
You know, when times are tough, what do good parents do? They make sure that their kids are provided for first.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that's what you've been doing. So hats off to you for that. And I just encourage you to kind of give yourself a little bit of a break for not focusing so much on yourself during that time and focusing more on your daughter.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I feel a little bit like I've been beating myself up too. Which I don't like to do because I was so proud of myself. I was really proud of what I accomplished and was in a really good space. And you know, so I do feel a little bit like, okay, Annette, stop beating yourself up. You know, things happen and, you know, refocus and get back on track. But I just feel like it's not coming fast enough. Like I want to wake up tomorrow and be super uber excited and be up at 5 a.m. ready to go to the gym.
Yeah. And you're being very hard on yourself for not being there. And your response to yourself is, come on, Annette, get moving. And that's not working. So the other thing I also just want to acknowledge also, Annette, is that it's also very common and very normal when we experience a lot of tragedy, especially one after another like that, where we just don't feel like we're getting a break, to really question our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all part of the process. We start questioning everything
yeah.
fundamental. And it sounds like for you that includes your faith in God, and that's a pretty normal response to going through intense loss like that. So I also encourage you to be gentle with yourself about questioning those things. Let me ask you what kind of emotional support have you reached out to get during the time of this life?
Well, I haven't. I have not reached out. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've had a couple of conversations with resources through work, but I haven't had any. I didn't practice what I preach, so you know I was able to influence my daughter to go through counseling, and she did. And I think that's a big part of what has helped her. But unfortunately, I didn't take that up for my. I didn't take my own advice. So one of the things I am going to do, actually, I'm going to do tomorrow, is reach out to a resource that I have and schedule some sessions because I realize that you know I haven't taken my own advice, and I do think it's important during times like this that I am more for therapy, you know, so I believe therapists can play an important role in helping people through difficult times. And I did establish a relationship with a therapist a couple years ago, so I'm going to reach out to her and schedule a couple of sessions because I think I felt like I could do this on my own, and I was more concerned about my daughter, but I'm realizing now that I'm feeling a little deprived myself, so.
Yeah. And you know, from what you said, your daughter's made some improvements and she's doing okay. So maybe it's time, you know, to put yourself back in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, which is, you're right. I think I put myself on the back burner. I've been more worried about everybody else. And I think I need to make myself a priority.
Great. So what else does making yourself a priority mean to you?
Making myself a priority to me means taking care of myself for one and doing the things that are going to have me feeling at my optimal best. So when I originally went through my Healthy Living Challenge, I had not felt that well in so long. And it felt so great to feel normal. Like my energy level was high. I felt rested. I looked better to myself. So when I looked in the mirror, I felt like, wow, you look fresh. You look, you know, you look rested. You look good. So making myself a priority is really all about living a healthy lifestyle, eating well, getting regular exercise, getting regular rest. I love to read. So making time for reading, and I love to walk. So making time, so not just exercise, going to the gym, but there's a lake not far from my house that I really, really enjoy. Very spiritual time for me. I enjoy spending time there. So that's what making myself a priority means.
Okay, great. So walking, reading, and then, of course, the counseling for at least a short period of time on top of that. Great. And as you think about doing those things, how do you start to feel? What do you feel as you talk about those things right now?
Like just being heard right now and having someone give me their undivided attention feels great because I don't feel like I get that. I feel like I'm always doing, I'm always giving, and I'm not getting. So just having this time, I can already feel my energy level elevating. Because I feel like just being heard and just being validated and just being acknowledged really goes a long way.
Sure.
It's like a shot of B12.
Great. I can put that in my marketing materials. Come get a shot of B12. it's really great to hear. And you're absolutely right, you know, because here's the thing in that, you know, you haven't been attending yourself to yourself. You've been, you know, from what you're telling me, you've been putting everybody and everything else first. And so, you know, here we are in just a few minutes of putting you at the forefront. And it sounds like it kind of reminds you of what you've been missing and motivates you to start putting it back in place.
Yeah. And I do miss it. I really do, which is the part that's so frustrating. It's like, hello, what is your problem? If this is something that you enjoy and you miss it, why are you not doing it? But there's just some days where I feel like I'm lucky to be able to get out of bed and get myself showered and dressed and looking decent to get to work, let alone being up at 5 a.m. trying to get to a gym. So, yeah.
That lethargy in the morning. Where's that coming from?
You know what? To be honest, sometimes it just feels like the weight of the world. I know that may sound so cliche, but it feels like this weight of the weight of the world. It's almost like a dread. Like, oh God, like I have to do this again today. Which is so terrible because I practice gratitude. I'm a really grateful, thankful person. I try to practice gratitude every day because I'm really grateful for my life and everything that I have and everything that I've experienced. So I feel kind of guilty being in this space too because I don't want to be ungrateful and I don't want to have a woe is me attitude because life has been good to me. I just want to stop procrastinating when it comes to being good to myself.
Sure. I want to ask you if how much of you feels like you might be experiencing some good old-fashioned depression?
Oh, God, you're like the fourth person. You're the fourth person who has said this to me this week. So that's another reason why I'm making that phone call tomorrow because, you know, depression is real, and sometimes we don't want to acknowledge it, you know. I think generally I don't want to claim that I'm depressed because I have so much that I should be thankful for and grateful for, but I know that depression doesn't discriminate, so it doesn't make a difference like what you have or what your status is. You can still experience depression. So I think one of the things I need to do is acknowledge that could be a reality, is that I am experiencing some level of depression.
Yeah, the clue for me in that was the trouble getting out of bed in the morning. That's common with depression. It doesn't have to be, you know, this like huge giant clinical depression. Just, you know, suffering from a little bit of that can certainly cause that kind of lethargy, not being able to get out of bed in the morning, disruption to your normal routine, changing your eating habits, changing your sleeping habits. You know, those are all signs of depression. So that's why I asked, because as you were talking, I felt like some of those red flags were showing up. What have your sleeping habits been like lately?
A good night, I may get about 4 or 5 hours sleep uninterrupted. But normally I'm up like every 3 hours.
And how usual or unusual is that for you when things are going on?
Well, that's been pretty usual, which is another reason why it's difficult getting up in the morning, because usually if I'm up at 3 or 4, by the time I fall back to sleep around 5, you know, I should be getting up at 6, and I'm not getting up until 7 or 8 because, right. You know, I haven't really slept that well throughout the course of the night. I'm sorry?
Before all this happened, how many hours of sleep did you get on a normal night?
I was doing pretty good. I was probably getting about 6-7 hours straight sleep.
Mm-hmm. And then since this happened, it's gone down to getting up every
It's gone back. Yeah, I feel like I'm back, like, full circle. I feel like I'm back full circle, which is, I'm really disappointed because I had, like I said, I had made such great stride. I don't want to lose that. And I really fear going backwards. Like, I just don't want to go backwards. It took me a long time to get focused and centered and find a plan that really worked for me and that my body responds well to. So I don't want to abandon that, and I certainly don't want to give up. I'm halfway there. I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the thing, you know, because disruptive sleep patterns is also common with depression and with stress, and you've been experiencing a lot of stress and might be experiencing some depression around this. So it all makes sense that you're experiencing what you're experiencing. And, you know, you've experienced some things that, you know that list of life events that, you know, mm-hmm. there's like 100 of them that they talk about in stress management, right? And the things that you're experiencing are pretty high on that list. And when we're experiencing things that are high on that stress list, some of the things that are recommended are to not embark on any major life-changing things at the moment, but to kind of use your energy to maintain the status quo. And it sounds like almost you've been doing that effectively, because you said, you know, you've been fighting to keep the weight off, even though you're not losing anymore. Right.
Right.
But it's mm-hmm. like, it sounds like just staying where you are is an effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like
it's a huge effort because, you know, it's so, you know, so part of the whole weight loss struggle is that when you lose it, to keep it off. So I've been really, really focused on maintaining at least what I lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I fluctuate. I'm up and down a couple of pounds each week. But for the most part, I'm able to hold on to, you know, the success that I've had so far.
And how does it feel when you think of your ability to hold on to that?
Well, then I'm actually proud of myself because given the emotional roller coaster ride that I've been on, and I'm an emotional eater, I've really been conscious to not go on binges. I've really, really been conscious to not do that. And I've still been trying to eat, you know, clean at least a couple times a day. So, you know, really packing in my veggies and fruits and, you know, staying away from the depression food, so to speak. So I'm really proud of myself for that.
Excellent. Yes, I am too. That's great to hear because, you know, there are so many people in that when they're in a situation like this, that it all just kind of goes to crap, and before you know it, they're right back where they started.
Oh yeah, so, I could take a nosedive into a gallon of chocolate ice cream, like in nanoseconds, and just, you know, and just keep going from there. But I've just tried to stay present and conscious and focused on the fact that I do know that I'm an emotional eater and acknowledge that so that I don't I don't lose myself.
Yeah. So how is it that you're able to stay away from that vat of ice cream to dive into?
Well, this may sound crazy, but I have to I spend time talking to myself in the mirror. I do. I learned this listening to one of Oprah Super Soul Sundays, and I can't remember who the author was, but she talked about this exercise of looking yourself in the mirror and really connecting with yourself, making eye contact, and telling yourself how much you love yourself and how proud you are. And so I've been trying to do that. I don't do it every day, but on days where I feel really, really low, I try to get in the mirror and just spend a minute or two patting myself on the back and just saying, you know, things like, listen, it's been a rough year, but you've still accomplished a lot, you know, and I'm proud of you, and we're going to make it through this, and we're going to keep moving forward.
Excellent. So it sounds like you are, you're very open to what do we call that? You're open to those kinds of ways of dealing with yourself, whether it's, you know, listening to your inner dialogue or actually going to the mirror, and having your inner dialogue out loud while you're looking at yourself. And what would you say your openness and your ability to stick with those kinds of things, what would you say that says about you?
Well, what I wanted to say about me is that I'm authentic, and I'm not a hypocrite. So I'm a life coach. I'm a certified life coach. I work with women who go through significant and turbulent life transition. How ironic is that? And I try to spend time with them to help them stay connected with who they are and not change their identity and be defined by the situation. So this is really, really crazy to me because I'm like, this is what I do. How can I be in this spot? But yeah. So I work really hard at it, and the reason why I'm on this call tonight is because I want to practice what I preach. I want to show up before women authentic and honest, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to sell something that I don't use.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sell a product that I don't use and I don't believe in.
Right. Certainly. So you have an incredible ability then to really teach women to be compassionate and authentic with themselves.
Yes.
How can you use that quality to stay motivated, at least for now, to maintain where you are, and then ultimately to begin to move ahead?
Well, I know I need to be more tender with myself, more compassionate with myself, and I know I need to be more loving towards myself. I'm hard on myself, you know. I expect more. I demand more. I slip into that hole that says, you know, you should be further along. You should have lost your, you should have accomplished your whole goal by now. You should have done this. So, you know, I'm trying to not fall into that trap and to really be tender with myself, and, you know, show myself some love the same way I encourage other women to do.
Yeah. Great. So how can you begin to do that tomorrow? Or even starting tonight?
Well, I think I'm starting tonight. I think this call is huge. I think having this conversation live, God knows how many people are going to hear this.
Okay.
So putting myself out there like that, I think that's huge because it shows just how important this is to me. And I don't like to go through things in secret because I know how devastating that can be and how much that can wear and tear on you. So I really like to out myself, so to speak, when I'm going through situations like this and talk about it so that I don't suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm. Great. And how much would walking, reading, and reaching out to the counseling resource that you mentioned earlier, how much would doing those three things also be a demonstration of showing yourself some love and compassion?
It would be huge, and it would help me break the cycle of procrastination. So before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to pack my gym bag, and I'm going to get all of my things together and have them ready to roll in the morning, because I think if I can muster up enough energy to get up tomorrow and be at that gym at 6 o'clock and spend some quality time with myself in the morning, and we have full facilities so I can shower and get dressed and everything and take my time and get to my desk, you know, by 8:30, I think that would be a huge breakthrough for me.
Okay. Let's reframe that just a little bit. What I heard you say was, if I can get myself up in the morning, that and then all the rest of what you said, and then that would be a huge breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Let's change that if to when. You said, if I can get myself up in the morning.
Right. So to reframe that, it would be, I'm going to get up in the morning at 6. I'm going to set my alarm, have all of my things ready, and so that I can just jump into my gym clothes and be in the car and out the door to the gym. And spend some quality time with myself tomorrow, have a good workout, get showered, get dressed, grab my breakfast, and be at my desk between 8 and 8:30.
Excellent. How does it feel to declare that?
Great. It feels great. And I can't wait to do it, because I know that that's what I need. I just need that breakthrough, and then I can get myself back on track.
Yeah, great. And what about writing and walking? What do you want to do about those two actions?
So what I like to do is, my morning ritual would be at the gym, because that's the bit, right at my job at work. And then in the evening, going up to the lake, and I usually throw my book in a bag and I have my music that I listen to. And it's a 1.8-mile walk around the lake. So I do one walk around, and then I'll sit for about a half hour with my book or my music.
Wonderful. That sounds like quite a lovely way to start and end your day.
It is so wonderful. It really, really is. I feel like I'm on cloud 9 when I do it.
Great. How would you like me to hold you accountable by offering that you send me a note?
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Cool.
That would be fabulous.
Great. So then I'm going to anticipate a message from you in the morning when you get to work, telling me that you went to the gym.
Great.
And then at the end of the evening tomorrow, or in the next morning, if you want to, it's fine either way, that you had gone to the lake, done your walk, and done some reading.
Yes.
Do you want to email me in the evening after you've done those other two things, or the next day?
I'm going to email you in the evening.
Great. That is when I'm done with that note from you. So very good. Very good. So what's the biggest insight you got from this conversation, Matt?
The biggest gift?
Mm-hmm. The biggest insight, the biggest gift, the biggest takeaway?
The biggest gift is just being listened to. Just being listened to. That's the biggest gift, is being heard. I think it's so important, and that's what I offer other women, is an opportunity for them to be heard. So it feels good to get that, because it helps me, it gives me insight into even how they might be feeling.
Yes.
So that's really, really, really phenomenal, and I think it'll help me show up even in a greater way for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other biggest insight for me is that just because I'm a life coach doesn't mean I'm perfect, and it doesn't mean that I don't have issues. So the same way I show up for other people, I can show up for myself that way as well.
Great. Oh, and then I almost forgot the counseling resource. What did you want to do about that?
Oh, yeah, I'm calling her tomorrow. So when I get back to my desk and get settled, I will be calling her.
Great. And then in your email to me, tell me that you completed that too.
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Annette, you're a very brave woman. You're handling a lot of stuff. And you're able to admit to it. You're able to tell on yourself and declare publicly what you're going to do about it. I think that takes a lot of courage, and I really admire that. So
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you so much. And to the listeners, I have to just put you on blast really quick. Mark was one of my teachers when I went through life coaching. So it's such an honor to be able to be coached by you tonight, because I know what an awesome coach that you are, because I sat in your classroom and I've learned so much from you. So tonight you offered me coaching, but I still, I'm the student. So I learned a lot even through this session tonight.
Well, you're most welcome. And remember, everybody we meet is our teacher and our student. So
yes.
I learn every time I teach. So thank you for being there, listening, and being able to receive what I've got to give.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And best of luck. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you both times tomorrow.
You will.
All righty. Thanks, Annette.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Sometimes we just need to be heard. Nothing more. And that can make such a huge, huge difference. So time for our commercial break. So let's do a quick commercial break for our sponsor, audible.com, and we'll be right back. Mark My Words is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're listening to us on right now. If you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and 1 month free as a trial of the service. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And there's some great titles that relate directly to tonight's topic that I found just a little bit ago. Overcome anxiety, depression, fear, and lack of motivation. Self-help for overcoming procrastination. And transform. Author Mark David tells us everything he's discovered and that science has proven about how to naturally achieve the body, state of health, and lifestyle enjoyment that you want. So, those are two good titles from our sponsor, Audible.com. And here we are back on Mark My Words. And the number to call in if you'd like to be coached is 646-716-9397. And we are going to get back to our next caller. And we have Lindsay from Yonkers, New York on the line. Lindsay, thank you for calling Mark My Words.
Thank you for having me, Mark. I'm very excited.
Well, great. So am I, and you're most welcome. So, tell me, what are we helping you with tonight?
Oh my goodness! So, what I am hopeful that you will help me with tonight is my energy and turning it into action. I believe that, you know, I have a lot of energy, a lot of creativity. Very intuitive. I'm able to connect with people, and I attract all of these opportunities to take myself and my business to the next level, and then I take no action. So I'm kind of getting a little frustrated with myself because I'm not taking any action, and I know where I want to be, and I know I'm not taking those steps to get there. So I'm just like, what is getting in my way? What's blocking me from, you know, taking some action?
Okay, great. So before we continue, I'm going to ask if you can possibly talk closer to your microphone. It sounds like you're a little far from your phone.
Okay, is that better?
There you go. Much better. Yes. Great. So great. So you have lots of opportunities to make headway in your business, and you're just not doing it.
Correct.
So how long has this been going on for you?
I want to say at least on and off for about a year or so.
On and off for about a year. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the business that you're trying to create. I know it's a coaching business.
Yeah, so it's a coaching business, and what I want to do is work with women and teenage girls to create the life that they want, creating balance in their life. And I actually had an opportunity to run somewhat of a mentoring program for young girls, and again, just not taking action with it. So I want to be a role model for young women to take their life to the next level, help them create vision boards and take action. And so similar to like Annette, it's like, who am I to try to take people to the next step? And I'm not taking those steps. So I feel guilty as well. But yes, so the business is about taking people to the next level in their life, but it's specifically for young women and adult women.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So think for a moment, Lindsay, about the opportunity that you said that you have that you're not taking action on to mentor a group of young ladies. When you think about that situation, what thoughts come up for you? What thoughts do you have about it to get in your way?
How am I going to make this happen? What are my resources? Can I really do this? Will people really buy into me? Will they believe me? Will they support me? Will they like me?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, tell me more about those last two thoughts. Can I really do this? And will they really like me?
Well, I think that I'm aware that I have this heightened awareness about my energy and how it kind of influences other people. And so that's a new awareness for me. But then I wonder, is it really true? I think I hear a lot of people tell me about my energy, and I try to pull little evidence that I have in my life to say, oh, yeah, that is true, that is true, and feel inspired and motivated from that. But then there's this other piece of me that says, nah, that's really not me. No, I can't do that. No, I'm not as great as you say I am.
Yeah. And what do we call that in coaching?
A gremlin.
Yes, that's a gremlin. So for the rest of the listeners out there who aren't coaches, a gremlin is an I'm not good enough message. It's the inner critic that tells us that we are somehow fundamentally not good enough to reach success or to sustain it once we do reach it, right? So when that gremlin comes up and says, you can't do this, you're an imposter, who do you think you are? How does that make you feel?
Well, I feel powerless, and that's the biggest feeling, you know, is feeling powerless, like I can't move, I feel stuck.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, so you feel powerless, you feel stuck, you feel kind of some victim energy around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're thinking that, you're seeing that, what's the action that you take?
None. You know, sometimes it might even play out where I'll cancel, you know, appointments. So I might have a meeting with someone. So I met somebody and we say, look, we're going to do this great book club that's really going to empower women. And we get all excited and all these juices are going. And then we'll set up a couple of dates and then the date will come up and I'll come up with some excuse as to why I can't meet. You know, because in my mind, it's like if I meet, then I really have to follow through with this and I don't believe that I can. So I stop myself from doing it. So I don't want to disappoint the other person.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so the action that you take is actually inaction, procrastination.
Correct.
So, you know, if you're thinking that you're not good enough to do it and they're not going to like you, and that has you feeling, you know, really unmotivated and feeling really down on yourself and feeling that victim energy, right, it makes sense that you're not going to move forward on it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
So what difference would it make if you had a different thought?
If I had a different thought, then I believe that my action would be different. And there are moments where I can, you know, take on a new thought and it just doesn't last long. You know, I can do it and maybe I'm good for about a week. Maybe I will meet up with that person, but there'll be another time where I don't do it. There'll be another time where I like to call it fade the black and I kind of just disappear, you know, from that connection with that individual. But if I had a different thought, I would take action. I would feel more powerful. I would believe myself.
Mm-hmm. So what gets in the way of that sustaining itself when you do it?
That's what I'm unclear about. I don't know.
Well, let's start here. What would a different thought be? Other than, you know, I'm not really good enough to do this. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to like me. I'm a fraud.
One is that if they didn't see this in me, they wouldn't try to create this opportunity with me. That's one of them. Okay. So they must see something. Another one is where I just kind of flip it and say, no, I am good enough. I am smart, or I do have the resources. I can make this happen. I am creative.
Can I make an observation that I'm seeing right there?
Excuse me?
Ma'am? Can I make an observation that I'm seeing
there?
Oh,
yeah, please. Yes.
So two things. I'm hearing some, let's see, how do I put this?
Oh, my God. What other people think about me and then what I think about myself?
No, I'm hearing that when you make those new statements, they're still rooted in a time period where they weren't true. They don't stand on their own as positive statements about your capabilities and about what's so.
Mm.
They stand instead in correction to you're not feeling that way. And so they have roots. They have roots in the past. They have roots in not feeling that way. So it's almost like, you know, when we cut a weed at the surface, mm-hmm. and we don't get the roots out, what happens is it grows back.
Okay.
Right? So the two statements I heard you make were, if they didn't see something in me, they wouldn't create this opportunity for me. And the other is, I am good enough. I am smart enough, with emphasis on all these ams. Right?
Right.
So when you emphasize the ams, do you hear how that's in correction to something saying that you're not?
Correct. Yes.
So let's get that out of it. And then also, if they didn't see something in me, then
it's not there.
Right. So let's turn that one around and reframe that into something that's a little bit more affirmative, rather than if they didn't, then they wouldn't. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the if they didn't, then they wouldn't. Turn that around into a positive statement that if people were to hear you say it, they wouldn't know that you're reacting to a belief that maybe it's not so.
They see what I see in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming up with a bunch of I ams. But one of it is that, you know, that they see what I see in myself.
And what is it that you see in yourself?
That I am this creative, intuitive, powerful individual.
Great. So they see that I'm creative, powerful, and intuitive.
Yes.
Okay.
They
and
see
therefore,
that and they want a piece of this. They want some of this. And I want
yes.
whatever they have too. I want to create that win-win for everyone.
Great. So they see that you're powerful, that you're intuitive, that you're creative, and they want a piece of that, right? And therefore, they've created this opportunity for you.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Do you see how different that is from...
And not even to create the opportunity for me, because there are times where I create the opportunity or we both create it, but that they're creating it with me, that, you know, they want to do this in a partnership. You know, it's
yeah.
not really like, oh, poor Lindsay.
I love it. Yep. Much more powerful. Not like they've done it for you, like they have all the power and you have none.
Right. Exactly. It's
yeah.
a we feel we're doing this together.
So they've jumped into this opportunity because
mm-hmm.
they see it. Creative and talented and powerful and intuitive. Do you see how different that is than if they didn't see those positive things in me, they wouldn't have created this for me? Do you see how different those two statements are?
Yeah, the energy is just totally different in itself.
Totally.
My posture as I said the two things were actually very different. One, I was kind of like slunched over as I spoke about it, and then the other one where I stood kind of more straight up.
Of course. Love it. I love it. And, all right, so hang on to that phrase. Write it down if you can, or just you'll remember it. And the other ones, you were like, I am powerful. I am creative, right? Like, again, it's almost in response to something saying, no, you're not. How would you state those in a way that it doesn't sound like they're coming from a, no, you're not?
I'm struggling with that a little bit, Mark, because I believe that I've trained myself to kind of get stuck on those I ams and telling myself that, hey, those affirmations kind of work, and that they sound good. So to find a different way to say it where it's coming from a different place, I can't come up with anything. All I'm coming up with is just a different tone of voice is how I'm saying it, not in a question, but more confidently.
Oh, well, let's hear it that way then.
Yeah, which is that I am powerful, not I'm powerful, right? Come on, get with this, right?
That's
so it's just like the way I'm saying it.
Yep, that's what I'm looking for. Give me more. Let's hear it.
The way I'm saying it. I'm saying it like, come on, believe me, be convinced, you know, I'm powerful. We can do this. And I'm trying to like convince somebody that I'm powerful, where the other way is like, I'm powerful. That's just it. You know, come and join this power. And if not, that's okay too. And it doesn't take away my power. It's still there, regardless of what the opportunities are. It's a part of who I am.
Ah, I like that. That my power stays a part of who I am.
Right.
Regardless of who responds to it.
Mm-hmm.
How does that resonate with you?
No, that felt good. I'm actually writing that down. That felt really good because it's true, and I do believe that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, again, all the energy and how I said it, so it feels good, and it's very true for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So that's what I've got, these two statements that you just came up with. They know that I'm creative, powerful, and intuitive, and they want a piece of that, and they want to partner with me. I'm powerful. Come and join it. My power stays a part of who I am, regardless of who responds to it.
Right.
How does that feel, and what's that do to your posture?
No, I sit up. I'm actually standing up because it's exciting because it is a new way of saying it and a new way of feeling, you know?
Yes. So how do you feel when you say it? What emotions do you experience when you say it?
I feel strong and powerful, and I feel confident. I feel motivated, actually. I feel like, okay, I can go out there and I can do it. I can present myself in a way where I feel my power and other people can feel my power, because what was happening is that other people were feeling my power and I was questioning, you know, my power based off of what other people felt.
Yes. And when you take actions on this stuff, Lindsay, you start getting results, that's going to reinforce the new thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder for you to go back to unknowing those, because you can't unring a bell once you hear it ring.
Right. That's right.
So with your new thoughts and your new emotions that come from those thoughts, what's the first thing that you can do this week to start to move forward?
I could follow up with someone who has been wanting to support me and partner up with me to create a new endeavor, and I can follow up with them and confirm our appointment. Because I kept telling them, I need to check my calendar.
How long have you been telling them that?
For about 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, about having to check my calendar.
Okay. So I think you've got enough time to check my calendar, haven't you, Lindsay?
Right. Right. And so now I can actually check my calendar in real life and look at a date, pick a date, and then check with that individual to find out if that date works for them and make it happen.
Great. When can you do that? But when will you do that by?
I will do that tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? Great. So would you like to hold you accountable for that?
I would like to send you a text or email or message to let you know, hooray, I've contacted it and this is the date.
Great. Contacted and made the appointment date. Great. I will look forward to receiving that. Now, we're not done here yet, though. Now, here's the thing. When you could, because what might happen, and we want to just kind of put a little with a safety net in, is that, you know, at some point, because you said it lasts for about a week or two, and then you kind of slip back.
Correct.
Okay. So what can you do when you feel that coming on to make a different outcome this time around?
One is I could refer back to my notes from this call. Like, in fact, I'd like to take those two powerful statements and put them on an index card and kind of plaster them in my mirror, on my mirror, so I can refer back to those. And I'd actually, tonight, I would like to talk to my partner about this call and ask for, you know, support and check-in and kind of call me out on my stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Fabulous. I love the index card idea. So how about tomorrow when you email me to tell me that you did the index card as well?
Yes. Okay.
And how would you feel about reading those two statements from that index card out loud every morning in the mirror as a daily affirmation?
I can do that. I will do that.
Yeah, great. Great. Yeah, I think that's helpful. So,
excuse me?
I think you'll find that very helpful.
Oh, I believe so. Because, again, where I've been in different places, I had other affirmations, and one of my favorite affirmations, I had it up on my bathroom mirror, and I would say it every day. In fact, when I found myself kind of living in those gremlins, even on my car ride to work or maybe my next, you know, adventure for the day, I would turn my radio off, and I would say my affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Bruce Snyder, I am in all ways. I am always and always more than I believe I am.
Yep. Excellent. Very good. So let's hear those two statements, those two powerful statements. Let's hear them like you are so bought into it.
Yes, I am powerful. I am a powerful, intuitive, and creative individual. And my power stays with me, stays with who I am, regardless of the situation or circumstances.
Wonderful. Very good. Very good, Lindsay. How does that all feel?
Yes, I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling charged. I really am actually very excited about going upstairs to talk to my partner about this call. And so he can also provide support in holding me accountable when I struggle.
Excellent.
And
yes.
Tell him not to rip down my index cards. They serve a purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good. And really invite his partnership and have him commit to holding you to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. So what's the most valuable insight you got from this call?
It's actually that statement about my power stays with who I am, regardless of the situation and circumstances. As I said it earlier, I raise my awareness about how sometimes I let situations and people determine how I feel about my power. And my power does exist no matter what is going on around me. Energy can change, but my power just, it's there. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of my makeup. And so that is just really important. That's my best walk away.
Excellent. Well, that is some good stuff.
That's right. Teamwork makes the dream work. So thank you, Mark. I appreciate this call.
You're very welcome, Lindsay. You're very welcome. Thanks for calling into the show tonight. Good luck. And I am going to look very forward to hearing from you tomorrow.
That is correct. Well, I hope that you have a good night. And again, thank you so much for having me on your show tonight.
You're so welcome, Lindsay. Take care. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Yeah, sometimes all we need is some of those affirmations. All we need is to change the inner dialogue that's going on and just recommit. And sometimes just declare it to another and just change the thoughts that we're having. Get in touch with what are those self-destructive thoughts that we're having and just what happens if we change them? So that's great. That's some really great stuff. So before we close for the night here on Mark My Words, I just want to announce some of our upcoming shows on the network that are hosted by my awesome colleagues here on the Life Coach Radio Network's team of talented and dedicated coaches, all dedicated to making your life just a little bit more of what you want it to be. So my next show, of course, is 2 weeks from tonight. And if you'd like to receive a reminder, go to blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network and scroll through the upcoming episodes until you find the next episode of Mark My Words, and click the blue reminder button so you won't miss it. And then Tuesday at 8 p.m., we have Career Talk with Coach Trina around job loss, horrible boss. So if you're dealing with a recent job loss, extended unemployment, horrible bosses, or other challenges of the workplace, join her and she will help you do some work on getting the answers to your questions. And then on Thursday at 12 noon, his message to millennial entrepreneurs from Justin Lavezan. At 18 years old, Justin Lavezan is an experienced entrepreneur, consultant, speaker, and forthcoming author. He's passionate about connecting youth, and Justin is curator of the Next Gen Summit, an environment for young entrepreneurs to help them connect, collaborate, and inspire. So again, that's Thursday night at 12 noon to tune in with Justin to hear the message he's got for millennial entrepreneurs. And then lastly, on Friday at 5 o'clock, we've got Improve Your Life with Amina. So Coach Amina will help you figure out what to do when people don't understand you and improve your life through effective communication. So that said, that about wraps everything up. Tell me.